I have a little story to start with tonight, and then we'll get into the main message, and we'll pick up where I left off only 4 months ago. And Patricia, if I got too fast, you can always just let me know, okay? That's her job. I just finished reading a book by Max Licato, and in it he tells a real delightful story that I could totally identify with. So let me start. His wife called when he was driving home from work one day and says, "Can you stop at the grocery store and pick up some bread?" And he said, "Of course." "Do I need to tell you where to find it? Are you kidding me? I was born with a bread aisle tracking system." "Just stay focused, Max," the wife said. She was nervous, and rightly so. I was the Exxon Valdez of shopping. My mom sent me to buy butter and milk, and so I bought buttermilk. I mistook a tube of hair cream for toothpaste and thought the express line was a place to express your opinion. I was a charter member of the CHSS, Clueless Husbands Shopping Squad. I can identify with that. My wife sent me to get pimentos this week. You try to find pimentos, a little thing like this in the store? Anyways, I can relate to the following man who came home from the grocery store with one carton of eggs, two sacks of flour, three boxes of cake mix, four sacks of sugar, five cans of frosting. And when the wife looked at the sack of groceries, lamented and said, "I never should have numbered the list." So knowing that my wife was counting on me, I parked the car at the market and entered the store. And en route to the bread aisle, I spotted my favorite cereal, so I picked up the box, which made me wonder if I needed milk, and I found a gallon in the dairy section, and cold milk stirred images of one of God's greatest gifts to humanity, Oreo cookies. And so I bought Oreo cookies, and then I thought of, well, what better thing than or with Oreo cookies than chips? I grabbed my cookies and happened to occupy the half of the store, picked up my chips, went to the cash register, cashed out, and within a few minutes, I was on my way home. My wife looked at the purchases that I had had and questioned me and said, "Where's the bread?" So I went back to the store and I forgot the one thing that I went to get, the one essential product. I can so identify with that. So I thought that was just kind of a cute way to open tonight. 4 months ago, I was here, and at the end of the message, I talked about crossing over. If you were here, you may remember that night. Well, I'm going to do Crossing Over Part 2 tonight. And Al, if you're listening, and when you listen, there's a 3 and 4 if you'll let me. So there's more. But I want to start tonight by reading you just a little bit that happened since I was here last. This was sent out April 27th by Chuck Pierce. And it says, "Keep crossing over. Don't miss entering into this Passover season. Dear crossing over friends, here at Global Spear Center, we are continuing to advance into the new crossing over season. I am grateful for each of you in joining us at the Passover celebration and those of you who are now entering into our webcast. Be sure you see the complete replay." And so it says, "On Saturday morning, I shared what the Lord was saying in this season. We are now crossing over into a time that will determine our future." Starting, and he goes on to talk about that. And then at the very bottom of this thing, he says, "There will be a replay May 4th by Daniel Pierce on passing over to cross over, realigning with the future." So I thought, okay, we're really in the right spot. This is really what God wants to do. And I have spent years collecting a file of this stuff. And right now, it's just like I'm kind of bubbling over. Like I feel like I could almost do a seminar on this because I've picked up so much information about crossing over. And I really, when I sat down to write earlier this week, I kind of started in one whole direction. And yesterday, when I really sat down to really get serious, the Lord took me in a whole different direction of how to start tonight. So we're going to start way back before we even think about crossing over, and that is in the book of Numbers. So if you have your Bible, you want to turn to Numbers chapter 13. Because before we even think about crossing over, you have to understand some things that happened before. Now, in Numbers 13, we're well aware of the story. Numbers 13 is the story of the 12 spies. We all know that story. It isn't as though, you know, it's brand new. But in Numbers 13, we want to read it, verse 27. Okay? Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. This is its fruit." And they brought the fruit back. Okay? Next verse, 28, please. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there, the giants. Verse 29, the Amalekites dwell in the land, as well as the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the crowd before the Lord, before Moses, and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against this people. They are stronger than us." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report. "The land which we had gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. The people whom we saw are great, and its men are of great stature. Then we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, that came from giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." There are two major sins that Israel commits. Scripture never says, not once, that Israel didn't enter the promised land for lack of unity, for lack of holiness, for lack of interceding, for lack of fasting. It says in the Bible that they didn't enter because they had an evil heart of unbelief. That kept them in the wilderness for 40 years and threatened to wipe out the whole nation. The second major sin that they had was the sin of murmuring. The root meaning here is to refuse to go on. In our lives, murmuring and unbelief are still the two primary ways of destroying our destiny. We will even excuse these, unbelief and murmuring, and call it by something else, or even justify our own attitude. Most of the church sees themselves as grasshoppers and even have a grasshopper-sized God, and therefore they get a grasshopper-sized result. Let's take a look at Numbers 14, starting at verse 20. "Then the Lord said, I have pardoned them, I have pardoned according to your word. But truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all of these men who have seen my glory and the signs and wonders that I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they shall certainly not see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit the land. And the Amalekites and the Canaanites who dwell in the valley, tomorrow turn and move into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea." That generation lost its opportunity to cross over. God would have to wait for the next generation to mature before they could cross over. The promised land wasn't going anywhere, but a whole generation would die in the wilderness before Israel would go and take the promised land. I once heard Dutch Sheets say this: "You're not responsible for what happened to you, but you are responsible if you remain in that condition." One of the very first principles of crossing over is this: every generation must have their own crossing over. every generation must have their own crossing over. Bible says that Abraham was called a Hebrew. Now the word Hebrew is I-B-R-I-Y. Iberi, maybe? But its root word is the word abar, which means to cross over or cross into or pass by. Basically, this root word means to move from one place to another. Abar is a transition word, which also means to penetrate, as in penetrating the territory or in penetrating the heart. Without trying to be too graphic, it is the word used to designate the physical relationship between a husband and wife which results in a pregnancy. So therefore, abar, if you have an abar experience with the Lord, it's possible that you would find yourself pregnant with a new understanding, a new mission, a new mantle, or something else. Therefore, one of the important characteristics of the word abar is that every generation must have its own crossing over. Yeah. Every generation must choose with its heart to cross over and follow God and enter into the new. Now take a look with me, if you will, at Judges chapter 2. We want to look at verse 10. Well, I can read it up here. And also that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them that knew not Jehovah, nor yet the work which he had wrought for Israel. This verse is an extremely sad commentary and a failure to obey God's word. Now, if you'll take a look with me as the next scripture will come up here, at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. It'll be up here on the screen. This was the command God gave through Moses to Israel. And it says, "Only take heed to yourself and keep thy soul diligently, lest you forget these things which thine eyes saw, and lest they depart from the heart of from thy heart all the days of your life, but make them known unto your children and thy children's children." And if you'll take a look at Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, it goes on and it says, in a little more detail, it says, "Hear, O Israel, Jehovah our God is one." Jehovah, keep going. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and all thy might." Next verse. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be upon thy heart, and you shall walk, and you shall teach them diligently." Notice the word diligently. "To your children, and they shall talk of them when you sit down, when you walk, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be on the frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thy house and upon the gates." God had commanded his people to train up the next generation. The book of Judges reports a failure to do so. And we know by reading the history of Israel, the tragic results of what that was all about. Sadly, history tells us that there has never been a revival that has been carried on by the next generation. We have failed to understand that each generation must have its crossing over. We had an African pastor at our home one night, and he started his message, he said this: "What is the one most important thing you would like God to answer?" Took me a few minutes to think about that. It was simple. I want my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, for generations, to walk with the fire of God. Yes. Nothing else would be more important to me. And we saw in Judges that the people of Israel had failed to do that. First principle, every generation must cross over. I feel like I need to stop here for a minute. And for the younger people in the back, if you would stand for a minute. And Jim, your wife's not here. Do you mind standing as well? And I think everyone is pretty much over 30, right? I want to pray for you. Because as a generation, I believe that you need to experience your own crossing over. There must come a time in what you represent and the generation that you represent. We have some of my young grandchildren here too. We'll pray for them as well. Because they need their own crossing over. And we have a young baby. That child needs its crossing over. So Lord, I pray today for each of these and what they represent, that they will have their own crossing over. That there is a time and place where with all of their heart, they will move from the old into the new. To possess all that you have for them. And that you will give them the wisdom and the strategy to fight the battle. To win and to maintain that which you have from them from the beginning of time. The reason why they were born. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I spoke the last time, I briefly alluded to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. And in there, Moses lists the seven tribes that were in the land. And if you remember, if you were here 4 months ago, I took a few minutes and explained what each one of those tribes meant. I'm not going to do that tonight. That's something I will do at a later date. But we did talk about that, and you can go back and listen to that whole message as to what it's about. But I kind of set that whole idea up. And I feel like right now, in the way that we're talking about crossing over, that I feel like it's now important to now really look at this crossing over. So we're going to take a look at the first chapter of the book of Joshua. And that's where we're pretty much going to stay the rest of the evening tonight. As I said, I've done a lot of research. I've done a lot of study on this. And there is much in here to talk about. If we're really going to talk about this is a season of crossing over, if this is a season for us to enter into the new with God, there are certain principles, and I'd hope to get into chapter 2 or 3 tonight, but that isn't happening. I'm going to get as far as the end of chapter 1, and that's where we're going to end tonight. And if I come back, we'll go on with 2 and 3. But in Joshua chapter 1, we want to read the first two verses. Now it came to pass after the death of Moses that the servant of Jehovah, that Jehovah spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, and you and all this people of the land I've given to them, even to their children. God didn't waste any time. There was in Joshua's life a kairos moment when it was time for him to take leadership. All the training and everything that he had done led up to this moment and this time. Joshua had been trained for over 40 years. And I say to you tonight, don't underestimate your own training. Yeah. Don't underestimate that which was done in secret. And again, for you young people back there, your training is critical. And one day that will come into a place of light where you will be used. And we're going to talk about that right now. Do you know, and it's really funny when I started doing research, do you know where Joshua is first mentioned in the Bible? I was shocked. Joshua is mentioned in Exodus chapter 17. You have to turn there. In Exodus chapter 17, Moses commanded him to lead the fight against Amalekite. That's where Aaron and Hur held up Moses' arms. We know the story. But that's the first time. Now, I love to stop and think about this. What is it, you know, you got to go back and sometimes we read this. I like to stop and kind of think about this, okay? How did Joshua get picked to be the leader over thousands of other people? What made him the man Joshua, Moses picked? Bible doesn't say. I think for myself, Joshua was a, or perhaps the leader of Israel in Egypt. And that when they crossed the Red Sea, it became apparent who was the leader. And Moses tapped into that. But there's no way of knowing that for certain. That's just what I think. But no matter what the case is, he was picked to be the general to lead the fight against the Amalekites. Israel had only known one leader. Moses led them through the Red Sea, gave them the law at Sinai, and they watched as he constructed the temple. Now Moses is supposed to step in to those sandals. And the question is, how will this new generation really react to a new leader? So here's another principle that let me say to you tonight. Leaders don't lead forever. There exists a time when God calls for a new beginning with a new leader. It's been said God buries his workmen, but his work goes on. J. Oswald Sanders said, "A work originated by God and conducted by spiritual principles will surmount the shock of a change of leadership and indeed probably will thrive better as a result." Joshua does not abandon the past, but he builds on it, but he keeps his individuality. Therefore, there's continuity, but not conformity. Let's take a look at verse 3. "Every place that you sole of your foot shall tread, you shall have I to you have I given it, as I spoke to Moses." I want you to look at the word given. God said, "I've given it to you." God's been saying that all night. Really. I've given you promises. I've given them to you. In fact, when we get a little bit farther on in this study, if I get back and do this, it's interesting when you get to Jericho and God says, "See, I've given you Jericho." See what? I've given you Jericho. I've given you the land. I've given you your inheritance. What's God given you? Is it yours yet? Or do you still have to get it? This book is about overcoming. It's kind of the comic book version of how to be an overcomer. You kind of get a picture as you read along. God's really serious. I mean, I wrote this, you know, before I knew what was going to be said tonight, but God's really saying this very strongly tonight to everyone that's here. You know, "I've given it to you." Let's go on to verse 6. "Be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to give their fathers." Next verse. "Only be strong and very courageous to observe and to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded. turn not to the left or to the right. Thou mayest have good success wherever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but shall meditate on it day and night. Therefore, thou shalt observe it and do according to all that is written. For when thou makest thy way prosperous, and when thou shalt have good success. In verse 9, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for Jehovah the God goes with thee wherever thou goest. One simple sentence. What did God say? Before you go to war, have your devotions. It's really what it says. Verse 8 says, not only will you prosper, but you'll succeed in everything that you do. In verse 9, and this is important, and you can read over this and just kind of skip it. Verse 9 says, this is my command. God didn't say this is an option. If you're going to cross over, if we're going to cross over into the new, God said, this is not an option. Have your devotions. Meditate on the word day and night. You can't be casual with God and get the results he wants. Let's stop here for a minute. This is a time of transition for Israel. There's a new leader, there's a new generation, and a new way to live. We have a generation of people that are about ready to cross over that have never fought a war, but they've watched millions of people die in the wilderness because of their unbelief and because of their murmuring. Let's take a look at verse 10, please. Joshua commanded the officers to say to the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare them, for within 3 days you shall pass over. I think this is funny. 3 days? Are you kidding me? I got to get everything ready in 3 days to cross over? 3 days? Not a week? Not 2 weeks? If you read in chapter 3, verse 1, they actually take a trip. They leave one place and they have to go 10 miles to the banks of the Jordan. And then they have 3 days. It took them all day to travel 10 miles. They have to get their food ready. They have to pack. And then they're going to cross the Jordan. And what's interesting about it, the Lord says, I want you to cross this Jordan. Okay? Now, someone could say, Lord, I know you're Lord, but your timing's off here. Are you aware that this is flood stage? The Jordan's usually 50 to 70 feet across. You can wade across it. It's a half a mile to a mile wide. The water's flowing. There's debris being come down the river. There's eddies all over the place, and you're saying to cross over. Is your timing off? This isn't the right time to go over. Has God told you to do something? Didn't seem reasonable or you didn't like? Did you ever read a verse of scripture and didn't like what it said? Don't be religious. Come on. We've all done that, right? God's always said that at different points. Times of transition are times where things get uncomfortable. And this was a time of transition. This was not easy for them. They were crossing over into something new, entering into something they had never had before with a brand new leader. And God says, you have 3 days and cross the river now. I'm going to end with verse 13, 14 and 15. And again, here's something you could easily skip over. Remember the word which Moses, the servant of Jehovah, commanded you, saying, Jehovah, your God, gives you rest and will give you this land. Your wives and your little ones and your cattle shall abide in the land which Moses gave you, but you shall pass over before your brethren all the mighty men of valor and shall help them until Jehovah has given your brethren rest as he has given you. And they shall also have possession of the land which Jehovah your God gives them. And then they shall return into the land of your possession, the possession of Moses, the servant of Moses, and goes on. If you read that section, there's a key word in there. One key word. If you take nothing else away from this chapter, this is the one thing that is the most important thing that you need to hear tonight. God's purpose for crossing over is so that you can enter into his rest. Yeah. That's it. You read that, and it's there. And it says it very clearly. You have rest, the 2.5 tribes. God wants to give them rest. Where? In their promised land. Where? In their destiny. The whole purpose of crossing over is to enter into God's rest. Now, let's talk about this for just a minute. The word rest means to settle down, including, now listen to this, the settling of one's spirit. In Luke 10, we read the story of Mary and Martha. We all know that story. Mary was a servant. Mary loved to serve. But she was distracted with her serving. And Jesus told her so. Jesus said, Mary, or Martha, excuse me, you're divided in your affections. Why don't you just rest and we'll eat later? That's really what he was saying to her. Martha needed to settle her spirit. If you're going to cross over into the new, one of the things that has to happen is it will settle your spirit. Another meaning of the word means freedom. It means respite from one's enemies. When the promised land was taken, there would be peace in the land. The word rest means to leave something behind. It was impossible to cross over and want to go back and pick up what you left over there. If you're going to cross over, you've got to leave something behind. If you're going to cross over, the word rest means to depart from a position. I know none of you are stubborn, but maybe God will have you move to a new position. And lastly, it'll mean to give satisfaction to one's spirit. I want to close tonight with three scriptures because I need to really make this point valid to you tonight to show you how important this is. The first scripture is Deuteronomy 28. Verses 64 and 65. And Jehovah will scatter thee among all the peoples from one end of the earth until the other, and there you shall serve other gods which thou hast not known, nor your fathers, even wood and stone. Next verse. And among these nations you shall find no ease. That word ease is rest. And there shall be no rest for the soles of thy feet, but Jehovah will give thee there a trembling heart, and failing eyes, and pining of soul. God says in the chapter dealing with the blessings and curses of God, if you choose not to follow God, you will have no rest. Lamentations chapter 1, verse 3. Judah is gone into captivity because of affliction, and because of the great servitude she dwells among the nations, she finds no rest. And her persecutions overtook her. Her persecutors overtook her within the straits. Last verse. Psalm 95. Verses 10 and 11. 40 years, and by the way, this is quoted in Hebrews, 40 years long was I grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who err in their heart. They have not known my ways. Therefore, I swore they shall not enter into my rest. If you take nothing away from what I've said tonight, this is the thing you need to take away. If you're going to cross over, you're going to cross over and expect to enter into God's rest as you're faithful to him and as you surrender and do what he says to, for you to do. I think we've covered a lot tonight. This is only part two. We didn't even get to talking about Rahab yet. While I have hoped to get farther, I think you have enough information to ponder over the next few weeks until I come back, hopefully. Let's talk about this. Number one, I'm a member of the Clueless Husband Shopping Squad. Number two, unbelief and murmuring will keep you out of the promised land. Number three, every generation needs to cross over. Number four, the church can survive leadership changes. Number five, have your devotions. And number six, the purpose of crossing over is to enter into God's rest. Just bow your heads. Father, you have been very clear tonight with everything that you have said from the moment the service started until this moment. We thank you for the clearness of your Holy Spirit. Father, we are Hebrews. We are people who are willing to cross over, to leave that which we know is familiar behind and go into that which you've called us to. Whether we're a young child or whether we are in our 70s or beyond, we will cross over. And I thank you that you go with us. And you say to us, see, I've given you the land. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.